Hello, my lovelies, and welcome to
the Goat Podcast.
Today I will tell you the story of the zombie attack on the ancient city of Jerusalem. It has the potential of being a really awesome story in every possible way, but not so much. It's a story from the Bible, you see. It was nothing like the scene in World War Z where zombies climb on top of each other like ants trying to breach the extra super high walls of the city. Let me tell you the Bible story, or at least the gist of it. The occupying forces in the land of Israel decided to execute a guy for high treason. Apparently, he claimed to be the king of the said occupied land. Or at least, that's what the Jewish high priests claimed he did. Luckily, this guy had died before the dead started roaming the streets of the city. So at least he didn't have to fend off the living dead whilst nailed to a couple of planks. Besides the dead walking, rising, coming out of their graves, there was really nothing else they did. They appeared to many, but not a whole lot of brain eating. Or anything of that sort. Utterly disappointing for a zombie nerd like me. Oh yes, there was a freakishly long solar eclipse as well, and an earthquake, but it is hard to determine if the incidents are related. Well, it's really hard for some people to tell if it was even real or just a tall tale. Let's see what the only source to this event has to say about it. Okay, the guy gives up his last breath, and action!
Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God.
This passage had me a wee bit confused at first. It appears as if the writer of the Gospel attributed to Matthew is jumping back and forth through time. He's telling the story of when Jesus gives up the breath, earthquake, the veil in the temple is ripped, the zombies get out of the graves, then jump into the future, roughly 36 hours, to a point in time after the supposed resurrection of Jesus, and then the zombies enter Jerusalem and appear to many. Here it appears we're jumping back in time again to when the centurion and the others who were watching Jesus, they saw the earthquake and the other things that were done. What other things did they see? The 3-hour solar eclipse? The veil in the temple? The zombie attack? What did they see? I understand they were by the cross at Golgotha, and the women were watching from afar. By looking at a map, we can conclude that they couldn't have seen the veil splitting in the temple. But if there had been an eclipse for 3 hours, they would probably have noticed. The dead rising they couldn't have seen either, since they didn't leave the graves until after the resurrection of Jesus. So, basically, what had them scared was a long-ass solar eclipse and an earthquake. Quite reasonably so, since we've seen, for instance, Marjorie Taylor Greene losing her marbles over an earthquake in New York. And a short-ass solar eclipse. At least this time we know what came first. Ancient peasant superstition came before Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's nice to see it's living and thriving. Back to the hill of Golgotha. It would have made more sense if the text would have said they got out of their tombs and entered the city after their resurrection instead of after his resurrection. So, neither the centurion nor the guys who were with him or the women watching from afar actually saw the living dead there and then, since the dead wouldn't come out of the graves for another 36 hours or so. Or maybe the writer meant that they saw them too, and the veil, but later. 36 hours later, maybe. And then they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I imagine that is the tone of voice you would use as a centurion or guys hanging out with one. And we all know what Roman sounds like, don't we?
"People of Jerusalem, Rome is your friend."
Well, the supposed eyewitness who documented all of this was apparently following all these people around on Resurrection Day and made a note of it all, if the supposed eyewitness actually was an eyewitness. You can find these few lines in the Gospel of Matthew. Some people say that the Matthew writing this down, the eyewitness, is Matthew, one of the disciples, the tax collector. If you were an actual eyewitness, would you copy 90% of somebody else's testimony? Well, that's what happened here. 90% of Mark you can find in Matthew. The dead saints taking a stroll in Jerusalem cannot be found in Mark. I've loved a good zombie movie. I loved bad zombie movies, too, ever since my teenage years. Mr. Romero and Mr. Savini were the first ones to enter my life with their masterpieces. Sometimes the low-budget films may have lacked in some regards, but that was part of the charm, if you ask me. The storytelling was always intriguing. The struggling of the survivors as the zombies were slowly taking over. And the creativity in the splatter scenes, though sometimes they appeared shoehorned in there, but always with a lot of heart, literally. And brains. Lots of brains. I remember a movie, or more, I barely remember a movie. I think it might have been Zombie 3. I'm not sure, though. There was an odd-looking kid, maybe around 12 years old. He wanted to be breastfed by his mother. She declined. Of course she did. That little mother badger was way too old to be sucking on his mother's, let's call them, meaty milk dispensers. The odd-looking kid, quite understandably, got upset and ran off. Guess what? A zombie got his ass. And I'm not talking about his donkey. Meanwhile, the mother felt sorry for her kid and, of course, she looked him up and offered up her massive meaty milk dispensers. He took a big bite out of one of them and ripped off the nipple and a massive chunk of skin and meat. No milk, though, but lots and lots of blood. A small horde of zombies enter the room and feast upon what is left of the mother. Which is all of her, minus one big chunk of meat with the skin and nipple attached to it. And now the odd-looking kid as well, attached to it. Very attached to it, as he's sitting in the corner, munching away. He's sitting on the floor, going to town on his trophy nipple, skin and meat chunk. The few lines in the New Testament, on the other hand, are really lacking in the storytelling department. They've got nothing on Zombie 3, or whatever the movie is called. If you know, comment, please. All the Gospel of Matthew has got is a bunch of dead holy men appearing to many. I can see why the author didn't write a whole lot about this. It's boring. No eating of brains, no ripping of tit flesh, nothing. Simply boring. Now, the question is, where can I read about the zombie attack in Jerusalem? It's not mentioned in any of the other Gospels. Maybe it was because these zombies were boring and didn't eat any brains. Maybe it was so common with people rising from the dead during antiquity that they didn't bother to mention it. I'm thinking Apollonius of Tyana supposedly rose from the dead, Lazarus supposedly rose from the dead, the daughter of Jairus, the widow of Zarephath's son supposedly rose from the dead, the Shunammite woman's son supposedly rose, an unnamed Israelite man whose corpse happened to touch the bones of long-dead Elisha. He rose, the widow of Nain's son, Tabitha and Eutychus, to name a few. Dying and rising was apparently not very uncommon. Maybe less common than dying and having the decency to stay dead, but still. In fact, when digging deeper into the story, trying to find any corroborating information, well, there is nothing. Josephus didn't write one letter about any holy men rising and roaming the streets of Jerusalem, and neither did Philon of Alexandria. Nothing in Tacitus, nor in the writings of Pliny the Younger. Actually, none of the often cited so-called contemporary extra-biblical sources mention any dead saints reanimated in any form. Not one word. It's not unreasonable to think that at least some of the many who saw the walking dead, or at least one of the many who saw the walking dead, would have cared to tell somebody. Anybody. That is such an odd occurrence, to have the dead walking the street. It should have been documented in some way. In a letter to a relative, maybe?
Hi, Mom. I saw a zombie today. It was in the streets of Jerusalem. It was an old saint. It appeared to many.
No such document has surfaced. I know, absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. But seriously, nobody thought it was an episode worth documenting? Not the Romans, no historians, no person just walking the streets being appeared to? Nobody? Anybody? Only one anonymous supposed Christian dude writing in Greek more than 40 years after the event. That's all we have. Now that's convincing evidence, isn't it? Now step back, hold your breath while I become a follower of Christ. So, what was the nature of the zombie attack? Well, it wasn't really an attack, was it? More like a peekaboo thing, you know?
Peekaboo! Hi, I'm a saint, and I was until very recently very, very dead.
I imagine they had to introduce themselves, you know. I know, it says they appeared unto many, but did the people who saw them know who they were? They didn't have photography. How would people have known who they were? Maybe that's why nobody mentioned it. Everybody just thought they were regular living people, never dead, not even a near-death experience as far as the people they appeared to would have known. I mean, how did the centurion and the others know who they were unless they introduced themselves as the saints formerly known as a dead guy? And why would anybody believe them? How did the supposed eyewitness Matthew know the saints arose when Jesus died, when they didn't leave their graves until some 36 hours later? Was he checking out the graves for fun? Grave robbing? And how did the supposed eyewitness Matthew know what they looked like? And I would like to know more precisely who they were. What saints? I want names. And I want them now. And what about this? Where did the zombies go after the attack? Did they go back into their graves and return to deadness? Maybe they stayed alive, had a new life, met somebody, hooked up, got some kids, and got back into the business of sainthood. I kind of hope some first century Jewish Rick Grimes and friends took him out. Because that shit ain't kosher. Looking into it on the web, browsing, some find it reasonable to conclude that they eventually died again and their families buried them again. I wonder how they concluded that they would have a family alive. Well, some said that since they got up, the bodies must have been sort of fresh. I've seen a whole lot of unfresh zombies. And couldn't God just magically have put them back together? He could have had any old saints rise then, any of the old patriarchs, especially since it's supposed to mirror the end times and the resurrection of the righteous. Many of those have been dead for aeons. They must be really unfresh by now. The undead and unfresh. It strikes me as somewhat funny that Christians put a limit to their God's capabilities regarding zombie freshness whenever it suits them. And some say they never died again. That these zombies are still among us. Well, if these Christian webpages can make shit up and pull it out of their asses, so can I. I think it's most probable that a first century badass named Rick Grimes and his son Coral killed those fuckers. Is it time to call bullshit yet? Really? Is it? All right, I'll call bullshit. It will take a lot of really convincing evidence for me to believe a stupid story like that. And it should for you as well. Whilst browsing the web and Christian pages, I realized that the question whether it might not be what really happened historically never really is considered. At least not to any depth. The preset positions and the biases shine through like the sun on a clear day. A few of the questions I've raised regarding this extraordinary event, this extraordinary supposed event. How come nobody except Matthew mentions this? Not only the Gospels, nobody anywhere ever. Why? An event like that would have been worth mentioning, one might think. How did the supposed eyewitness Matthew and the centurion even know what these saints looked like? Bronze Age Facebook? Why didn't anyone anywhere mention the solar eclipse that lasted for 3 hours? According to NASA, the longest solar eclipse in a span of 12,000 or somewhat years occurred on June 15th, 743 BCE, some 2,747 years ago. Sorry, 48. It lasted 7 minutes and 27.54 seconds. And it will be beaten on July 16th in 2186 by an eclipse of the length of 7 minutes and 29.22 seconds. The longest theoretically possible solar eclipse is around 7 minutes and 32 seconds, according to Littman, Espinac and Wilcox, 2008. So we can be pretty sure it wasn't a solar eclipse for 3 hours. We can also be pretty sure the sky didn't darken for 3 hours that day. Somebody else would have mentioned it for sure. Somebody. Anybody besides one Greek-speaking, somewhat educated person in an era of 90% illiteracy, and probably an even higher percentage not literate to the point of being able to write a gospel, like the one attributed to Matthew. I mention this because of the fact that the Gospel of Matthew copies 90% of Mark. It is incriminating in regards to the author being an eyewitness. I find it hard to believe an eyewitness would do that. You would write what you saw, not copy someone else's testimony. With all this in mind, and more, much more, I call bullshit. Well, that sort of wraps it up, doesn't it? Bullshit! Thank you. Thank you all for taking the time to listen. Please like and subscribe. Send money. or gold. If you have any thoughts, please comment on the YouTube version of this episode. If I'm completely wrong, I want to know. Take care. Till next time.